Blog Talk Radio.
This is Don Allen Rico and Dr. Kenneth Ream. Welcome to our 30-minute discussion today on the Foot Expert Online, discussing topics that can keep your feet healthy and affect your overall health. Our topic this morning is, do I need foot surgery? It might surprise you. And so right now we're just getting Dr. Ream. Hang on just 1 second and we'll get him there. Let's see. I believe we've got him. I just need to let him come through. Anyway, this morning we're going to be talking about foot surgery and whether you need it or not. This is an interesting topic simply because I myself have had to have foot surgery. It's been something that I wanted, not that I wanted to do, but I got my foot ran over, and I think we got Dr. Ream online now. Are you on with us, Dr. Ream? Okay, here we go. One more time. And there we should have Dr. Ream with us.
Hello, Doc. Hello, Don.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good on this wonderful, beautiful, sunny morning in Southern California.
And it is also hot and sunny up here in Idaho. So we got a sunny day and good weather.
Wow,
so
I didn't know it got hot up there in Idaho.
Well, it's 61 degrees, and that's pretty hot for this time of year. So
okay. It's
doing pretty good. So today we're going to be talking about our foot surgery and whether or not that we need it. And you say we might have a surprise, so... Tell us a little bit about surgery.
The common thing is that people have several situations that come in. The most common thing that people complain about when they come into the office are either bunions, hammer toes, neuroma, plantar fasciitis, heel spurs, and toenail problems. And they come in and they think that they automatically need surgery for these things. And I'm here to tell you that you may have a surprise regarding these things, that there are ways to handle these things with and without surgery.
Okay. Let's take a look. So tell us a little bit more of why, and of course.
Well, let's go. Let's start out with bunion deformities. Okay, let's start out with bunion deformities. People come in with bunion deformities mostly because they think that it looks bad. Somebody that they have known or somebody that they have been with or looked at their feet and made a comment. There's always a critical event that brings people to the point at which they want to address these things. Very rarely, unless there's osteoarthritis at the bunion area, do people really need surgery. Most of the time, it's cosmetic. And let me just define a bunion deformity. A bunion is that bump at the groin side, what's called the medial side of the foot, where the big toe next to the big toe, there's a big bump there. And this bump also is associated with a deviation of the big toe toward the second toe. And as you can imagine, the progression of this problem has to do with the way you walk. You're walking on the big toe. You're walking right on the big toe. This posture that defines this type of pressure on the medial aspect or the inside of the foot is called pronation. When people pronate too much and the shape of the joint is genetically rounder, then we get a pushing over of the joint. And this creates a pounding of the cartilage and the bony surface of the bones adjacent to this pressure, causing a buildup of the bunion and a soreness of the protective tissues called the bursa overlying these areas. So people come in, they don't like the way this looks. Well, there's a risk to doing surgery. And people don't understand that every time you cut the skin and you cut the foot open, you are dealing with a risk-benefit situation. What are the risks of doing it versus the risks of not doing it? This is essential to any medical decision that you have. What's the risk of doing it, and what's the risks of not doing it? And so when people come in for a cosmetic situation and a cosmetic remedy having to do, a surgical remedy having to do with a cosmetic problem, they are undertaking these risks that they don't know about. What's the risk of surgery? Well, the risk of surgery is that any time you cut the foot open, it may not heal. You know, you're depending on that nature's glue when you cut a foot open to seal the skin edges back together again once you want to sew it up. Now, you have about 8 hours for that glue to become active, and you are depending and praying and hoping that glue forms in this other area. If 8 hours goes by and this area is not sealed, let's say the patient walks too much on their incision or breaks it open, you have to go in surgically again and recreate that cut that stimulates nature's glue to seal that wound open. So you're taking a chance. So there's a risk-benefit situation. Now, being that bunions are mostly cosmetic issues, one wants to consider whether the risks of doing the surgery versus the risks of not doing the surgery, let's say you feel self-conscious about it, one has to evaluate that. Now, how to alleviate the progress, the progression of this bunion deformity? Well, you know what? We've talked a lot about this, Don Allen. It's about shoes, right? It's about shoes.
It's prevention.
It's prevention. How come our conversation always ends up in prevention? Because that's the ultimate treatment. The best treatment is prevention. The best treatment is prevention. And so we have the mechanics, the shoes, the orthotics, and, of course, the chemistry and the natural shape of the body, because some shapes of the metatarsal joint and the bunion joint predispose to this movement and arthritis of the joint. Now, if the whole joint is eaten up by arthritis, my God, and it hurts. Again, you the risk of not doing this surgery is pain. You can't sleep, you can't walk, you can't work, you can't play your sports, you can't do your life the way you want to do it. Now, this definitely is worth the risk of the surgery, which are minor anyway, but still, if you have 10% of the bunion deformities having some kind of a mal result, certainly that's a risk to consider. So one might consider in all surgeries the risk-benefit situation, but because bunions are mostly cosmetic, one has to really consider this risk-benefit ratio. Now, how to prevent it from getting worse?
I was going to say, isn't a bunion most likely to occur in a female who wears high heels? crams their toes and shoes?
Well, high heels bend the foot more, and you have to balance more, and you're bending that big toe joint. Just put everybody listening, just put your hand on the desk and bend your toes up. Put your heel up away from the desk and walk on the metatarsal, walk on your toes. You'll see how that big toe is thrown out of joint and is not allowed to move as it should properly. And so shoes and orthotics are definitely part of this problem. So now how to prevent it? Good shoes, custom-made orthotics to hold that foot stable so the abnormal movements and pronation and imbalances do not take place. Now, hammer toes are also due to this pronation. Hammer toes are crooked toes. Hammer toes can be called, hammer toes are associated with mallet toes, where the just the ends of the toes are crooked. The joints are crooked. And then the hammer toes is at the middle joints. But it's all the same problem. The toes want to grab to gain the balance because the balance in the shoes and orthotics are not there. The tendons become tight, and the foot has to grab. The foot shouldn't have to grab. The foot should be in balance. And why do people want these hammer toes operated on? It's because they can't wear their skinny, pretty shoes. So, again,
right.
Risk-benefit situation. Now, if wearing pretty shoes is important to you and important enough to take that risk of the surgical risk of it not healing, of there being allergies, of there being infections, of the surgery doesn't turn out right, you may have to operate again, then go at it. But what I'm saying is people should always consider the risk. It's too often that people go into a surgeon, whether it be a podiatric surgeon or whether it be an orthopedic surgeon or a plastic surgeon. All three of these people deal with this kind of surgery. Okay, very often they'll go in, oh, yeah, you can have your hammer toes fixed. And then the nurse will quickly give you a consent form, which is supposed to explain the risks and benefits, but they don't really tell you that there's a real risk. They hand you a form. What my message today is, there's a risk. And part of my attention to prevention campaign, attention to prevention, is preventing the risks of surgeries by knowing the risks that you're getting into. And being aware and knowing that there's a preventative approach available. Do you understand what I'm saying, Don?
Well, I do, because, see, the thing of it is, of course, we've talked many, many times about my mom, and she had hammer toe. And here's the solution that they gave to her is that hammer toe, and she didn't like it because the second toe, came over the big toe, and it was always on top of that big toe. And they told her, well, we can, you know, get that to where it could come down by simply cutting the tendon. He says, you won't have any use of that toe, but at least it won't hold up on there, and you won't be pushing on that tendon. Well,
now, which toe are you
happened.
Talking about on the foot?
It's on her right foot, and it's the toe, the second toe, right next to the big toe.
Right.
And so that toe now, when we're, you know, I have to take care of it at her feet, just like, you know, we've been talking. And what we have to do is we have to tape that toe to the big toe so that it does not run over. I mean, that doesn't, so that doesn't stay on top and it has to, you know, like I said, has to keep it because it has no mind of its own. It has no control now.
So you did surgery, and the complications of the surgery is that the toe is weak, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
and not only that, not only that, but because of this issue, of the weakness and imbalance of the tendons that he cut, you get stronger tendons and toes on the other toes, and there's a chance for the tendons on the other toes to become tight. And you then create calluses on top of the bottom of the foot as a result of this imbalance. I don't know whether that's happening in your mom or not, but certainly that's a noted complication of this.
Yeah. Well,
is she developed any other complications?
Well, we have to be very careful because of the toe that it'll stay on top, and then it creates a callus on the bottom of the one toe, and it's complicated. It really is.
So, So the point I'm trying to make here is I'm going to illustrate the point by asking you the question. Did the surgeon give your mother complete informed consent? A consent on exactly what could happen? Did he pre-warn her that this could happen?
I don't believe that she understood what he said is we cut the tendon and the toe will lay flat. Well, it's never done that.
Well, of
it's
course,
never done that
but he
since.
Should have said it could have laid it. We could do this, and it could lay flat, and there's maybe an 80% chance that it will, and maybe a 10 to 20% chance that the other tendons will take over, and you'll have what's called a transfer lesion or something else. My point is, anybody listening to this broadcast, I implore them to find out the risks and benefits, because I'm going to say it again, attention to prevention. We don't need any extra problems in our life, especially problems that result from surgery that are worse than the problems that we already had.
Exactly.
Yeah, let me just tell you a little bit about what I'm talking about. I injured my hip many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, in a horseback riding accident. And I really shattered the acetabulum, where the leg goes into the hip, in a horseback riding accident. And I went to the doctor, and he said, well, there's a 50% chance you need surgery eventually, and a 50% chance that it'll heal on its own. I said, how will you know? He says, you'll tell me. So a couple years go by. I had a hard time sleeping. I had a hard time working out. I had a hard time doing my sports. I had a hard time working. And finally, one day, I couldn't lift my foot at work. I couldn't walk from the rooms. And then I couldn't go to the gym. And I couldn't sleep all night. Well, certainly, he said, you'll tell me when you need surgery. I found out when I need surgery. And I found out that the risk of not doing it at that point was worth or less than the risk of doing the surgery. Do you understand what I'm saying about risk-benefit?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I implore everybody doing anything medically, anything at all medically, not to listen to the casual talk and just the normal everyday discussion that happens regarding medical problems or taking tests or whatever it is. You take a test, you take a blood test. Okay, what does it mean when we find out? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to do something about it? Am I really going to learn something? Or is this, do you see, anything you do medically has to be followed with a risk-benefit, a risk-benefit situation, any surgery especially. Now, the third most common thing that people want surgery on is they get nerve pain on the bottom of the feet. Nerve pain, this is caused by a pinched nerve. I have this pinched nerve. It's caused a neuroma. And very often, surgeons want to take this nerve out. Well, what happens when you take the nerve out, called neuroma, it's sometimes called Morton's neuroma, and it's in between the third and fourth metatarsals on the bottom of the foot, the metatarsals are the knuckle bones, right below the knuckle bone, and you walk on it and roll it. Again, caused by the same abnormal motion called pronation. Right? You're rolling on this nerve, creating a blistering of the nerve, an enlargement of the nerve. Well, some people, they take it out. But you know what happens when you take out an aroma? You take it out.
I can ask.
And where you take it out, the stump creates an onion-type deformity from the stump of the nerve. This is called stump neuroma. Once you get a stump neuroma and you take out the stump neuroma, you will most likely always form a stump neuroma, and there's no cure for it except some exotic treatments like laser and you know, that type of thing in special hands. And so these type of things. And I told you I have a neuroma. Well, I had a couple of injections into the area to decrease the inflammation, and I wore healthy shoes. I wore healthy, custom-made orthotics. And now 15 years later, I don't even remember where the neuroma was. You see, the nerve shrinks, and nature has a way of healing a lot of things in our body that traditional medicine doesn't acknowledge, or it not mainstream. You see, again, risk benefit. How can I do things naturally or using nature's toolbox, correcting balance, wearing appropriate shoes? You see, Don, when Mother Nature made the foot, she did not know that man was going to make the ground flat. And here we all walk on the same ground with different feet, creating different imbalances. We hit that hard ground. We have to balance in different ways. We have to shift our feet. Our balance, our posture has to be different for each foot. But the way Mother Nature intended it, that we not walk on cement floors or tile floors or hard wooden floors. We walk on grass. We walk on soft sand. We walk on the beach. The foot can accommodate and balance itself better in these conditions. But no, we all walk on hard feet. So the point is, when we make a custom-made orthotic, and when we make a shoe, we build up the ground to the foot, so the foot doesn't have to meet the ground in a disorganized, dysfunctional way. And the shoe has to be partnered with the orthotic, and the orthotic has to be partnered with the shoe. Now, the next common thing that people come into surgery with is plantar fasciitis. This tissue on the bottom of the foot, that's a combination of muscle, tendon, ligament that holds the bottom of the foot together, that it's attached to the heel and goes toward the toes. It holds the foot together. And again, as we pronate, and it's all due to imbalance and a faulty posture, that we have to balance ourselves during gait. Are you picturing this, Don?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And so if we build the ground up to the foot, instead of allowing the foot to meet the ground and hold that arch in the proper place so we don't have to stretch it, this will accommodate plantar fasciitis. There are a lot of surgeries that surgeons do regarding the plantar fasciitis, regarding the tight plantar fascia. And sometimes it has to be done. Sometimes it's congenitally tight. Sometimes it's abnormally tight that we can't deal with an orthotic. Sometimes it's scarred. Sometimes we have to go in and loosen it. But I'm saying the normal rhetoric that takes place between doctor and physician should include those natural remedies that we can create by doing non-surgical approach. Again, the arch supports, the shoes, some type of injections. Oral anti-inflammatories are a way that we can kind of settle it down a little bit. But plantar fasciitis, a lot of surgeries are done. They clip that tendon to allow it to move. We can get scar tissue. We can get somehow malhealing of that tendon. And, of course, in any surgery, there's a risk-benefit situation. And so that's the next common thing. Now, when this tight cord pulls on the heel and pulls a spur or bony prominence away from the heel, you get a heel spur. And a lot of heel spurs are taken away surgically. Taken away. Now, there are some situations where you need to take the bone away, but most of the time, the bone spur doesn't hurt. It's the pulling of the fascia. The plantar fasciitis associated with the heel spur, which most always occurs. Okay, that's the problem. But yet, people are doing bone spur surgery. All right? Now, I said there may be a surprise in this whole thing, but guess what? The surprise is that you can do things naturally, creating nature solutions, balancing the walking, not creating a problem when you're walking, not balancing the foot to the ground, nature's balance, recreating nature like sand and grass and recreating that balance to the arch instead of us walking on hard shoes and hard, flat flooring, the wooden floors, the tile floors, the hard shoes, the high heels, this could all be prevented. Again, back to my attention to prevention theory. I think it's more than a theory. I've been paying attention to this all my life. So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I'm really get passionate about this because I think that a lot of our medical problems that we deal with in life are what's called iatrogenic. The iatrogenic problems are problems created by the medical solution, and now you have a whole new set of problems.
That's why we have the plantar fasciitis,
we have the heel spurs, and we should pay attention to mechanics. So what I've talked about is the deformities of bunions, hammer toes, neuroma, plantar fasciitis, heel spurs that should be addressed with conservative solutions before any surgery is performed, and also consider that any surgery has its risks and benefits. And I have one more surprise. And I am open to your comments before I reveal this next surprise.
Okay,
any comments
so far
from you, Don?
Well, I just, you know, as I listen to it, I think a lot of times people nowadays are just simply, you know, looking for surgery for a fast remedy. But, you know, the fast remedy is actually a long one. That can be prevention. It's the prevention that we've been talking about all along, is that if we do what it takes and do what we're supposed to be doing, that would definitely help, you know, just the prevention.
Now, you know that you and I have talked about diabetes and arteriosclerosis and vascular disease and all this, and we talked about blood sugar and we talked about inflammation and all that. But now you're talking a healthy person with a bunion, a hammer toe, a neuroma, plantar fasciitis. Guess what? The more inflammation you have in your body, the more this problem will show itself as painful. They have, for instance, you take plantar fasciitis and heel spur. They have done studies. You can go to the internet right now. If you give me time, I could quote the exact studies, but they have taken people with heel spurs and plantar fasciitis, or each individual one, taken people, put them in diets, they get down to their really normal weight. You know, to my patients, I say get down to your high school weight because they know what I mean. Get down with your lean and mean weight. Become lean and mean. We don't need all this excess belly fat. Belly fat's another topic by itself. because it creates hormones that interfere with your insulin and your fat receptor sites and so forth, and create inflammation in your body. We've had people lose weight and they get rid of shoulder pain, let alone they get rid of their plantar fasciitis and heel spurs. 86% of all those people who in this study that I'm referring to lost weight and they got rid of their heel pain.
Oh yeah, that's
not just because of the weight hitting the ground, but because of the inflammation. How do we know that? Because in other studies, people have had shoulder pain. You don't walk on your shoulders, do you, Don? The last time I saw you, I didn't see you walk on your shoulders.
No.
Do people walk on their shoulders? No, they don't walk on their shoulders. But 86% of those as well got rid of their shoulder pain by getting down to their weight and decreasing their inflammatory intake of foods. Now, we always talk about inflammation of foods. And, you know, I say eat food, nothing but food, not too much, mostly plant-based. The only sweets that you should have, theoretically, are from fruits and vegetables that have fiber with it that metabolize the sugar in a non-inflammatory way. And so that's the surprise. Guess what? All pain is mediated through the inflammatory processes.
So
it all has to do with diet and exercise and stress level and now biomechanics and good shoes. You see? It's all tied together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've actually overran our time just a little bit, Dr. Ream, but we're still recording.
Oh, my God, I was going crazy.
Yeah, so the people can, on the who are listening to the recorded call can still hear, and they'll be able to hear
good.
The show. So there's
good.
A lot of good information that
good.
You're giving there.
All right.
I do want to mention that do go to drreamremedies.com because there's a lot of good information, a little booklet that is available, as well as the Balm Riche product. Dr. Ream he's taken a lot of effort in making all of this material available for everybody.
Thank you.
To make it.
Thank you, Don. It was a great show, great program, a lot of good information, and really, if it is to be, it is up to me. Remember, attention to prevention.
Exactly. That's the key. Dr. Ream, thank you so much for being with us. For those who are listening to the recorded call, this is Don Alenrico and Dr. Kenneth Ream, the Foot Expert Online. Remember to keep your feet healthy. So bye for now. The Foot Expert Online is a production of Q4 Productions, copyright 2019, Kenneth Ream, all rights reserved.